All right, today it is the 13th of May, Friday evening, which is Sabbath Eve. And we are in Sketches from the Life of Paul, page 302. And we were going to start on paragraph 3 or 4 or something like that, the last paragraph, but we're going to jump up a paragraph, and you're going to see why in a minute. And it says this: from the standpoint of human judgment, Paul's condemnation before such a judge was certain. In other words, like what I was saying a few moments ago, when I walked the gauntlet, I guess you could call it a gauntlet because there were courtrooms on both sides of me. So I must have passed 20 doors. This is massive building that they built on 103rd in Harlem in the south suburbs. And it's on the third floor, you know, for the certain types of crimes that I was involved in. And so... it's like walking through a gauntlet. I'm passing all these courtrooms to get to the last one. And the judge's name was Lynch. And my probation officer even told me. She said that it's not good. There was a guy in here with the exact same situation you have. And the judge gave him 30 days to get things done. Or 6 months, or like maybe 6 months to 3 years behind bars or something like that. I don't remember. And so I prayed the whole time walking towards Arthur. Judge named Lynch. He's got an attitude. He doesn't like guys like me. You know, because what he did a couple of weeks ago with a guy like me. And so I thought, this is certain. And why would people think it was certain for Paul? His judge was Nero. This guy was graphically hateful towards Christians to the point he used to enjoy listening to their screams as they burned. And so she says, but the apostle felt that he had nothing to fear so long as he preserved his loyalty and his love to God. It kind of reminds me of King Asaph, too, when he cried out to the Lord. When he was, he had like 480,000 people, soldiers, and who was it? I can't remember who came against him. Probably Syria. He had, they had a million. And the way he ended the prayer, it just hit me like a ton of golden bricks, because this is what we're looking at. The way he prayed is the way we should pray. You know, because we have a God, and when they come against us, they're coming against our God. And so don't let them defeat thee, is how he put it, because that's what they were looking to do. And of course, yeah, the Lord took over. And it's just the only way it can happen. There's nothing Paul could have done to stop Nero in any way, shape, or form. Only a God can do this. I mean, look at, you know, when David ran towards Goliath, or when Gideon, you know, with his 300 ran towards 30,000. Was it 30,000? So that's when our God shines the most. That's when it makes it overwhelmingly obvious that we have a God and he will protect his people. And even if they kill you, think about this. Even if they kill you, they can't kill your soul. So guess what happens 1,000 years later? Your enemies, the ones that killed you, are looking up right before they burn to ash. And they'll see you on the wall in a robe of light, about to have eternal life in a beautiful city, you know, for all eternity. And so she goes on to say that his life was not in the hands of Nero. And if his work was not yet done, the Roman emperor would be powerless to destroy him. And see, that's what, like, as a matter of fact, I was talking to the Lord about this today in the midday, because certain things were said recently, and you know, I still get the crazy emails and whatnot, and I laugh about it because I know my Father laughs them into derision when they make certain claims that they're going to do this, do that, whatever, you know, try and stop us. And says, no, even if you killed, you know, a million of us, there's still going to be 144,000 that are going to step up, finish it, and overwhelmingly glorify the Lord. right there as they're being surrounded. Not a single weapon or even a bullet coming from a weapon has any power against, you know, the 144,000 or Gideon band, as I like to call them. She goes on to say that he who had hitherto been his protector could shield him still from the malice of the Jews and from the power of Caesar. And God did shield his servant. At Paul's examination, the charges against him were not sustained, and contrary to the general expectation, with a regard for justice wholly at variance with his character, Nero declared the prisoner guiltless. That's amazing. Think about it. He loved killing Christians. You know, isn't he the one that hung Peter upside down, too? On a cross? And so it says, Paul's fetters were struck off, and he was again a free man. Had his trial been longer deferred, or had he from any cause been detained in Rome during the following year, he would have perished in the dreadful persecution which then took place. The converts to Christianity had become so numerous during Paul's imprisonment as to attract the attention and arouse the enmity of the authorities. The ire of the emperor was especially excited by the conversion of members of his own household. Okay, so this is before Nero went ballistic. But, that's right. So anyway, so he was especially excited by the conversion of members of his own household. He still thirsted for blood and soon found a pretext to make the Christians the objects of his merciless cruelty. A terrible fire. Hold on. Be kidding me. I haven't heard from that guy. He's not part of our number. He used to be a guy I used to hang with. His name is Ken. I've been praying for him. I'm going to call him back, but not on Sabbath. Oh, boy, this guy. I hope he's calling because something good is happening, you know, because he's been coming up a lot in my prayers. But anyway, she says a terrible fire about this time. Hopefully he leaves a message here. Ken, you can do it. I know you can do it. I've seen Duke before. All right. Anyway, a terrible fire about this time occurred in Rome, by which nearly one half the city was consumed. Nero himself caused the flames to be kindled. And then, in other words, you could even name him Biden or Obama or just about any American president. They do this stuff, these false flags, so as to generate, they cause a problem. They cause a disaster to, they have a remedy, but they need a disaster to use the remedy on. And the political remedy is usually something there for to allow them additional power. And so Nero himself caused the flames to be kindled, and then to avert suspicion, he made a pretense of great generosity in assisting the homeless and destitute. He was, however, accused of the crime. The people were excited and enraged, and Nero determined to clear himself and also to rid the city of a class whom he feared and hated by charging the act upon the Christians. And that's what we're all going to be going through very soon. They're going to do the same thing, only they're not going to start the fire. The Lord did that. It's called the signs of Christ's return. But they call it climate change. And they're going to say the reason the disasters that are happening, which they call climate change, the reason they're happening is because the obedient Christians are keeping the seventh-day Sabbath, or they're keeping the Jewish Sabbath, they'll call it, because they started that Jewish lie, I think it was a few decades before Constantine did that thing in 321 AD. So anyway, this is what we're looking forward to. You know, we're not looking forward to it, but this is what our future, our near future is. And if you're not in the Bible daily, and if you're not overcoming on a regular basis, Satan knows. He knows. And he's the one that put the footholds in your life. He's the one that's got those skeletons in your closet. And if you don't honestly, literally try to overcome, and even overcome situations that if there was an opportunity to, you would commit the sin, but since there is no opportunity, as a matter of fact, if somebody wants to put that quote from Sister White in the room, I'd appreciate it, because I think it was on Telegram the other day. We should actually read the whole thing, you know, because that's what I did earlier. And it's very powerful, if you think about it, as to what she's saying there. Think about that. If you literally have the opportunity, you don't have the opportunity now, let's say, okay, to do something you want to do in your life that's sinful. But let's say you won the lotto, or somebody came into your life again, or whatever. You'd go right back into that sin. And if that's something you have to overcome as well, because Sister White calls that what the way the Lord looks at us and sees our characters, it's like a photograph, she says, to where the Lord knows if this was possible in your life, if the opportunity was there, you would go for it. We got to get past that too. She says, going on here, the satanic device succeeded. You know when he blamed the Christians? Thousands of the followers of Christ, men, women, and children, were put to death in the most cruel manner. Now, here's another thing a lot of people miss. You can see this in Sister White's writings. You can see this in the scriptures, in the way the church grew and spread after this fire. And of course, the Colosseums with the lions, you know, feeding the Christians to the lions, or burning them at the stake and stuff. The Christians were sitting on their hands. Every Christian, babes included, every Christian has a duty once they find Christ. Even Legion, okay, he's not his name, but we know this, right? We don't know the guy's name, but we know he had a legion in him. Even he had, as a babe in Christ, just told the people in the town what Jesus did for him, and they all knew who the guy was. They all knew how he was, or he used to be, running around naked in the tombs and killing people. And so he comes into the city in his right mind. That's a powerful image. And all he had to do is tell what Jesus did for him. All you got to do is testify. And then you pass the test. Yeah, I wonder if that's why it says testify. The word is testimony. And so the church started to spread after this when the Christians were, you know, they escaped Rome. You know, they got out of there, as you know, the ones that could got out of there. And that's how Christianity spread. Well, I've been telling people for decades, even before we started keeping Sabbath, we got out of the city. Because that's where the Lord led us. We didn't know we were supposed to leave the city until later. And we found out in Sister White's writings, and that was probably, you know, upwards of 5, 6, 7 years after we left the city that we found in Sister White's writings that we were supposed to leave. Never even knew who Sister White was until 5 or 6, 7 years later. Seriously, you got to get out of the cities. And even, you know, it's I always think of that one guy that was in Jerusalem trying to warn the people, get out, you know, warn the Jews that didn't leave in 66 A.D., not only did they stay in the city, so did he, and he died there. It's just like with the SDAs that think, oh, I'm going to go in the SDA church to get people to leave. Yeah, it's not going to work. I don't know how many people have told me that over the years. So anyway, and they all, and you don't hear from them anymore because they got comfortable sitting in the SDA church. Oh, yeah, the guy, you know, that preacher is really kind of conservative. Yeah, Satan knows exactly how many lies will keep you in a pew. You know, whether it's 100 or just one, doesn't matter to him, long as he knows to keep you in the pew and totally ignore the fact that that preacher has a 501c3. Somebody will say, oh, no, they all don't know. Yeah, really? You know how a 501c3 is structured under a general conference? Anybody that gets a paycheck from the general conference is under a 501c3. That's just how the law is. But some of them want more than one 501c3, just like Doug Batcher. He's got three of them. And so, but a lot of people are going to find out the hard way. Some are going to stay in the church just like they did 2,000 years ago. They stayed in the synagogues, and they were shaken out of the true church, just as prophecy said, because the shaking's occurring now, starting to, in a big way, to where the people that stay in the SDA church are the ones that are shaken out of the true church. Anyway, she goes on to say that some were crucified, some covered with the skins of wild beasts and torn in pieces by dogs. Others were clothed in garments of inflammable material and set on fire at night to illuminate the circus of the Vatican and the pleasure gardens of Nero. Thus, this monster in human form amused the public by exhibiting his victims in their dying agonies, while he himself stood by taking the keenest delight in their misery. Degraded and hardened as were the Romans, and bitter as was their prejudice against the Christians, the constant repetition of these horrible, heart-sickening scenes excited even their compassion. And that reminds me of D-Day, when even the German soldiers were getting to the point where they wanted to stop shooting. They're going, what on earth is going on here? Fran was telling me about this, you know, a while ago, where she was reading this thing and then how the Germans were saying this is crazy. Because when they were dropping the lid on the boat, the U-boat, or whatever, or transport boat, I don't know what you would call it, I don't think it was a U-boat, but they drop it, it's like a ramp when it drops, and it's just wide open. And so the guys run out using the ramp onto the shore and then get behind anything they can get behind to avoid the bullets. But 90% of them never made it off the boat, or 80%. Most were killed. And the Germans were getting to the point where they're saying, well, why is this happening? Well, it was designed. It was a blood sacrifice by the United States president and anybody in control of this nation at that time, so as to gain superpower authority over the world by doing this blood sacrifice for Satan. And the fact that they did it on June 6th at 6 a.m., 6.06 a.m., so you can have the three sixes, Rome was behind it, just like the pandemic. All these people, millions of people that died, and they're saying, oh, they died of COVID. No, they died from those so-called vaccines. And even more. I mean, there's so many people that have died that they've hushed up. So many graves, you know, mass graves and stuff like that. Especially with the homeless. Nobody knows who they're related to, so just throw them in a pauper's grave. But with something like this, it has to be a pretty big hole because you're going to be throwing a lot of people in there. And again, this isn't fearful for us. Even if we did die, we're going to be standing on the wall at the end of all. And so death is easy. It's the ones that are left behind that I got to deal with the grieving of the one they love that died. But still, there's no fear in the heart of the Christian because we have a God. If we have a duty, you know, to proclaim the truth, then he's going to make sure we're going to keep on preaching it. So he's going to make sure we stay alive, even if it means going to jail. You can stay alive in jail. A lot of angels in there can easily protect you, not a problem. And you'll see it with your own eyes. You won't have any fear either. I mean, seriously, John, the apostle, not only ends up in a prison, it's a leper colony on the Isle of Patmos. Not only does he not get leprosy, he gets the book of Revelation. 22 separate visions. You know, 22 chapters. Yeah, he was protected. Going out, she says. From this terrible ordeal, Paul was spared, having left Rome soon after his release. This last precious interval of freedom was earnestly improved in laboring among the churches. He sought to establish a firmer union between the Greek and Eastern churches, which he had raised up, and to guard them against the subtle heresies that were creeping in to corrupt the faith. The trials and anxieties which he had endured had preyed upon his physical and mental energies, and that's a real thing. Because we've had everybody that tried over the years to infiltrate our church and try to get us, you know, our church family, if you will, and try to get us to believe everything from the Holy Spirit not existing to Jesus not being a God, or to say that we preach the Trinity because the Bible says there's three separate, completely individual persons in the Godhead. Even Sister White says that. But the Vatican says no. There's only God the Father and his Son, and then the Holy Spirit's a thought process between the two. And if you don't believe me, for those of you that I know you're listening, that teach the exact same thing, that's right. I just echoed the Vatican doctrine of the Trinity that you echo and claim it's not the Trinity. That, you know, the Smyrna movement, or, you know, the those people that preached that theology. As a matter of fact, Sister White even said that that would come back right before Jesus gets here. Because they struck it down in her day easily. Because back then they studied their Bibles. And so do some of us. That's why they really don't. I mean, lately I've gotten a few. I think two or three of these people in the last few weeks have tried again on YouTube and in a private email and stuff like that to try to get me to see what I just somehow can't see. I sent them to the Trinity page on my website. A page that would take you probably a day to read. It's a huge page. There are so many verses proving they're wrong. But yet within an hour or two, they'll come back saying they read the whole thing. So they're liars on top of everything else. But again, it's today's world. People calling themselves Christians are going to try to get you to join their number by using lies that are easily put down if you study the scriptures. But if you don't study the Bible daily and don't pray on a regular basis, you're not only going to end up in those churches with them, you're going to end up with the mark of the beast. You're going to join them. I mean, they're on the extreme verge, really on the precipice, if they have not already done it, but they're literally on the precipice of blaspheming the Holy Ghost the way they talk about him. And here's the thing. I don't blame the people. I blame their leaders. And this is the problem with their leaders is, and I've done this with a few of them, when you show them the Bible verses that prove, just simple Bible verses that prove they're wrong, especially the one in Hebrews where the Lord, the Father, is calling himself a God, and then he calls his Son a God in the exact same verse. When you show them that, you get, you know, crickets. They can't respond. They just won't. And that doesn't, you know, shock some of them. I know one personally that's in the church, and literally he told me to my face, more than once, yeah, our leaders just can't seem to be able to explain this doctrine well enough. I says, what does that tell you? But if you don't study the Bible daily and you only study man, you know, and that's what Catholicism is all about. It's, you know, worshiping the creature over and above the creator. So she goes on, she says, oh, let's see, let me backtrack a little bit. Yeah, the trials and anxieties which he had endured had preyed upon his physical and mental energies. Oh, yeah, that's where I left off. I was trying to bring up the fact that when they do this in our churches, and this is why my website got so big, when people, like even with the tongues thing, me and this guy were tight. His first name was Jeff. He was from North Carolina. And him and I were tight for years up until all of a sudden the tongues thing came up. And he didn't believe in the tongues thing of the Pentecostal with the, you know, the gibber, you know, the just gibberish. No, he believed in a heavenly language. And so I did a Bible study and I presented it to him. And he quit. He left the church. So I put it on the website. It's the tongues page. Just go remnantofgod.org/tongues.htm. And, or the secret rapture thing. Yep, made a page about that. Trinity. That one got so huge to the point I don't even answer questions anymore when people ask me about the Trinity. I just send them to the page. Or send them a link or two and mention this or that, and that's about it. If they want to have a back and forth, I say, nope, I'm done. Because I don't do the what-ifs anymore. That's why that page got so massive. They kept coming back with another out-of-context Bible verse. And when I would put it back in context, and they agree they messed up, they come up with another one. And this went on for well over a year. And that's why that page got so big. And it was just to try to help them. And so that's when the rubber hits the road. That's when you know you're dealing with a Christian or you're dealing with an Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1 kind of creed worshiper. They worship the pastor over and above the creator of the pastor. Or they worship the creature over and above the creator, like Paul said. And so that tears at you. Because I remember when I, because some of these people, that not a lot of people left the church over this over the years. Very, 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 very few. But some did leave, and that's a kick in the gut, you know, because I'm so concerned for their salvation. I want that family member. It reminds me of me being cast out of my family of 11 children. You know, I used to be one of 11 kids. And so whenever anybody leaves a church, it's like a kick in the gut. It hurts. It does, because, you know, and you still love them. You can't turn that love off, no matter how many lies they put forth to try to slander us to make us look worse so that they look better. You know, just like a prosecuting attorney, or no, the defending attorney does to a rape victim, trying to make her look like she deserved it. Ridiculous. Today's world, though, eh? And so I can understand clearly what he went through when he would see, you know, how they would mess with the, you know, the strange thing that she says that we're creeping in to corrupt the faith. Satan's been busy. He's going to stay busy all the way up until the end of Plague 6. You know, because I have no doubt in my mind he'd probably run and hide when Plague 7 is falling, thinking, you know, because he doesn't understand prophecy 100%. Nobody does. And if he did, he'd know the day and the hour. So anyway, it goes on. The infirmities of age were upon him. He felt that his work was nearly accomplished. At Jerusalem and at Antioch, he had defended Christianity against the narrow restrictions of Judaism. He had reached, or he had preached, rather, the gospel to the pagans of Lysonia. Yeah, looks like Lysonia. And to the fanatics of Galatia, to the colonists of Macedonia, to the frivolous art worshippers of Athens, to the pleasure-loving merchants of Corinth, to the half-barbarous nations of Dalmatia, to the islanders of Crete, and to slaves, soldiers, and men of rank and station in the multitudes of Rome. Now he was doing his last work. Now check this out. And I was just talking about this earlier in the midday prayer about this, when I see how, you know, like they did this in the, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement, and now they're doing it, they're surrounding, and this is a federal crime. This is an actual treasonous crime, you know. Well, you can't really pull treason on just a citizen, but the politicians that okayed and even told the citizens to go over to the judges' homes and protest in front of their homes, but do a peaceful protest, that is against federal law. There's literally a law stating they cannot do that. That's a federal offense, but they're doing it anyway. And so, why do I share that? Let me get this Bible verse here for you. Satan's going to do everything he can, because the Lord is moving some of us to step out and do the work, especially when a latter rain starts falling. Proverbs 22:13 says, "The slothful man saith, there is a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets." So he's going to kick back and just relax. But here's the thing. A lot of people miss this fact. You know, I was kind of, this, you know, this was a topic for a while, I guess, out there in the woods today. And kind of made me laugh a couple times because of the way the Lord laughs them into derision. But it's just a big world. Even though they say otherwise. Even though they say, oh, the population is exploding. If you ever watched that one video from Dr. Carl Ball where he had that population expert, the guy actually was a quartermaster for the Army, and he would show how he could pack in so many troops into one area. And he goes, okay, just out of curiosity, how big of a city would we need if it was structured the way the Army would do it, or the way Paris does it, the city of Paris? It's the streets are so tight and the buildings are so close together. How many people could live in a, you know, how big of a city would we need to fit 8 billion people? And I saw this video 10 years ago. The guy, and there's a globe, you know, regular globe right in front of him. And the circumference was maybe 3 feet. So it was a big globe. The guy takes a pen out of his pocket and he goes, the ballpoint pen, and he just taps the globe, and he says the city would have to be that big, and that's it. That little dot would hold everybody on the planet. So they're lying. when they say the population's out of control. No, Satan needs the kids dead, just like he did on June 6th, you know, at 6.06 a.m. on D-Day. You know, he needs, he wants, just like he did when Moses was born, kill all the baby boys to prevent a Messiah type. Just like he did when Jesus was born, kill all the babies to prevent the real Messiah. And just like he's doing now with the abortions, get rid of as many children as possible because Jesus is coming back. Why there is, well, that's just a blood sacrifice there. But here's the kicker. It's a big planet. But if you keep watching the news, which you should do, especially if you're going to be hitting the streets, just avoid the cities. I mean, seriously, there's thousands of cities in a nation our size, let's say, right? And they say, oh, well, Chicago's going nuts. Oregon's going nuts. You know, like, what was it? That one city in Oregon. I can't remember. It was going nuts. You remember that. It was on the news. And or a city, like, or even just a section of New York City when they had that sit-down for the 1%ers and the, or the 99%ers or whatever. The fact of the matter is just don't go to those cities. It's just, you know, there's plenty of other places you got, and there's no sin in that. Jesus avoided certain cities because he wouldn't be received well there. You know, even Nazareth, he walked out of there saying, yeah, prophets not without honor except in his own land. And so if they say, oh, the media is just literally flooding it, all the cities are burning, all this is, no, it's like three cities out of how many thousands? So, like, if they got some city in Oregon burning, Chicago burning, and New York burning, hey, let's all go to some place in, I don't know, Oklahoma or Texas or some place over on the East Coast. Plenty of places. But the devil needs that on the media to make the Christians that he knows are eventually going to be stepping out to think, oh, whoa, there's a lion in the street. I'll be slain in the street. And even if you are, would that be so bad? You know, okay, yeah. Some people say, yeah, you know, wife and kids to feed, right? But they still can't kill the soul. They can only kill the body. And if you have a work to do, if you're serious, if you have overcome, if you can stand firm with courage and meekness and faith, then, yeah, you're going to get the latter rain. And with that latter rain comes a lot more courage and everything else. And so you're going to step out. And if he tells you to go into a city that's burning and stuff like that, if it's an absolute from the Lord, be it a vision or a dream, and it's absolute, you know, you're not having any questions on this kind of a dream or vision, if you will. Well, then you go, and no, that was going to be just fine because he told you to go because he needed you to go. It's like when I was walking down the gauntlet, and I said, okay, Father God, if you know, I got a wife and 8 kids at home, I got to take care of them, and if this judge is going to put me behind bars for a few years, well, then there's somebody in prison that needs to hear what I'm going to say, you know, via you moving my tongue because I was green at the time. I had just started keeping... No, wait. I think this was right before we started keeping Sabbath, in fact. Yeah, because we had only left... It's 6 months after we left the Chicago area is when we found out about the Sabbath. That was 27 and a half years ago, I guess. And so I'm trying to figure if it was warm or cold out when I went to that courtroom. Because that would gauge as to whether or not it was a Sabbath keeper or not. I can't remember. All I know is we did have a home church before we started keeping Sabbath. And we were doing the work. And so, do the work. He'll see he can use you. Overcome. He sees he can use you. There's some work. There's a lot of work that needs to get done. And if you have issues in the areas, let me see if I can find that quote from Sister White. I'll just go to my main site and hit that telegram thing on the top. There we go. If he sees that you are overcoming in certain areas and you will stand firm, then he knows that he can use someone like you when that day comes, when we go out. Did somebody, I guess they put a lot more stuff on here since the other day when I saw this. But I'm trying to find that, unless somebody took it off. Looks like it's edited something here. Okay, no, that was just that there. Could it this be here? Yep, I found it. Okay, let me see if I can get this to fit in the whole room. I don't know why this, just paragraph 3 was shared here. It's on the Telegram thing. And Okay, thanks, Brother Anthony. Let me put this up, see if it, yeah, there you go. Signs of the Times, July. I would suggest reading the whole paragraph, or I'm sorry, chapter. And it ain't, I think, was it 2 pages? It's one of those little booklets kind of things. It says God's Law. Oh, for those of you on WTPR, it's Signs of the Times, you know, ST, Signs of the Times, July 31st, 1901, paragraph 3. It says God's Law reaches the feelings and motives as well as the outward acts. It reveals the secrets of the heart, flashing light upon things before buried in darkness. Now listen to what she says here. God knows every thought, every purpose, every plan, every motive. The books, now here's the one that will kind of sober you up a little bit, spiritually sober you. Because I know none of you drink, at least I hope not. And wine is alcohol. Just touching, now here, let me stop here for a minute, because some people says, well, I only have a little wine once in a while, so I'm not a drunkard. Yes, you are. If you just put alcohol in your body, you're a drunkard. It doesn't matter if you just have a sip. Alcohol is not supposed to go into the human system. When it goes in, it stupors it. I'm living proof of this. I remember back when I was a drinker, I would be totally different with a few drinks in me as I was before I had the drinks. That's why they used to call it spirits in the 1920s, 30s, and 40s, you know. But it does change you, and it defiles you when you put it in your mouth and drink it. And so whether you slam it until you're barfing and passing out, or you just have a sip or two at night, you're a drunkard, according to the scripture, and you're defiling your body. And so it says, she says the book, here, let me scroll, this thing is just jumping. All right, it says, the books of heaven record the sins, now listen to this, the books of heaven record the sins that would have been committed had there been opportunity. Yeah. That puts you back in your chair, didn't it? You have to overcome even there. You have to get to a point where even if the most, you know, fleshly, glorified, lust-filled temptation comes before you and nobody's going to see it but God, and even if you put him out of the picture, nobody's going to see it, let's say, right? Which he'll see it regardless. You have to be in a position in your walk where even that won't affect you. So again, the books of heaven record the sins that would have been committed had there been opportunity. God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. By his law, he measures the character of every man. Now listen to how she explains that. She says, as the artist transfers to the canvas the features of the face, so the features of each individual character are transferred to the books of heaven. In other words, she says, God has a perfect photograph of every man's character, and this photograph he compares with his law. And so if you have something in your character where if you had the opportunity to do it, you'd do it, and it ain't good, you got to overcome that too. And then she finishes by, well, not finishes because there's a lot more to read after this, but I'm just one more sentence. She says, he reveals to man the defects that mar his life and calls upon him to repent and turn from sin. And so repent. Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And be ye baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And that's another thing, too. How can they say that there's not three separate persons in the Godhead when three separate persons in the Godhead are mentioned at baptism? And why is it when Jesus was baptized, because some of us won't be able to make it before he gets here, let's say some people die before they can be baptized or not, or they end up in prison or something. When Jesus got baptized, he's standing on the planet in a river. So he's on planet Earth. The Holy Spirit is in the air above him, floating there in the shape of a dove. He could have came as a man if he wanted to, because we all know about Melchizedek, right? If you don't, go to my Melchizedek page on the website. It's in the meaty Bible study area. And then, of course, you hear the Father's voice from New Jerusalem, you know, up in the Orion Nebula, according to the book of Job. So he's up there in the heavens. He says, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. The Holy Spirit's floating above him in the air, and Jesus is on the planet. Three separate individual persons in the Godhead in three separate areas. That's not a Trinity. That's a Godhead. That's not a Trinity. They lie when they say we preach Trinity. They're boldly lying because the Vatican's definition of a Trinity is one God in three persons. That's how they say it. And if you look at the base definition on the Vatican website, they literally say that God the Father is God, His Son is His Son, and the Holy Spirit's a thought process between the two of them. Just like these people that claim Jesus Christ isn't. Okay. Well, now they're actually saying that Jesus Christ is a God because that part of their creed was outed so well by you, my brothers and sisters, and, you know, those of us that came across them, that they put that down. But for some reason, they can't put down the other part. So since we're starting a new paragraph, I'm going to end it here. But I'm going to leave the recording going because I want to show you something here. So I'm going to stop here. I'll just put new chapter in my notes. Where are my notes? Well, not my notes, but it just tells me where I'm at. So new chapter, page 304. So it's going to be 304. We only did two pages. But, hey, it's Sabbath. What else you got to do? Well, not yet. Oh, wait, maybe. I don't know. I wonder when the sun goes down out here. Because it looks like a little, it looks like dusk out there now. I just want to check something real quick. Sunset is 8:57. So, yeah, Sabbath started here about 5 minutes ago. All right, so praise his name. All right, let me go someplace on my site. So, did I save that? 304, new chapter. Praise God I didn't crash. I'm going to pray again that I don't crash tomorrow. You know, because when I crash, well, if you're in Turbo, you're safe. I'll fall out, but Turbo is a completely different server. It's not connected to what we're doing here. So it's kind of like off-site, but it's not. So let me go someplace here. Okay, there's a few places on the website, and I'm just going to be putting this in here just for the stream. Because I know there are people that do listen, they're looking for dirt. Just like the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes did, they would follow Jesus everywhere and the apostles everywhere just to try to find, trip them up on something, right? They've been doing that to us for years. But praise God, some of them convert. Some of them realize, you know, I just can't keep hitting these walls. These people that I'm hanging with are just plain wrong. They none of them will answer my questions, just like Nicholas said, or Joe said, or any one of you. So, but let me show you something here. Okay, we got to go to Bible Truth Meaty. Who is Melchizedek? Okay, that is not much of a study, but it's big enough. And yeah. And I've asked people in regards to, you know, that lead the Smyrna stuff and all these other things. They can't, they just can't, they will not answer your questions. They can't. Because, see, this is why they'll go after babes in Christ that join our number. Because their church is literally falling to pieces around them. Even if they have large numbers, who knows? Who, you know, it doesn't really matter. But the thing is Satan wants to pull them, the babes out, because they know if they approach some of us that are known for our study, our Bible studying, they know they're going to fail. And so, is the Holy Spirit a person? That's a video I made. This whole page is on a video, as a matter of fact, on that one. Some are taught Jesus is the Comforter. That's an audio. That's a sermon. Vern Pates even has a video about this. I linked it out there. But let me show you something on the Trinity page. False Doctrines. It's going to be in the... Okay, is the Trinity true? Yeah, I changed the graphic. I got sick of it. But this is the Vatican Trinity right there. You know, the three faces, one God kind of a thing. And so... But let me just show you is the Holy Spirit of God? And I just updated it recently. Look at all the Bible verses. And, okay? And then some basic facts. And then one last thing. Okay? And then I also put in there, still don't understand. I actually have something from Sister White on here. And some of the brothers and sisters in the church family have chimed in. And so I put their stuff on here if they do it, if they wanted me to. So this I'm not kidding. Look at the size of the scroll. It's not that big, is it? It's a big page. But let me get up to the top here. And what was I looking for? Oh, for the SDA people. Because every one of these people that say that Jesus isn't God or the Holy Spirit doesn't exist, or they just say the Holy Spirit doesn't exist, or, you know, we teach Trinity and all this stuff, they all claim Sister White's a prophet. But again, if you show them these statements that she made, yeah, how far does it go? I think it just goes to there. And I didn't do a big, long checklist. As a matter of fact, I just used this one for you, for quite a while, from 1905, Special Testimonies, where she says there are three living persons of the heavenly trio, or three great powers of heaven, or the office of the Holy Spirit, Melchizedek presented in person. Okay, he must also be a divine person. Where was it? The Holy Spirit is a person, she says. Holy Spirit has a personality. He must also be a divine person. And then she also says here, the three highest powers in heaven are the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then she says here, in the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's off the chart how much evidence there is to show that they are pushing the Vatican Trinity, and they don't realize it. And why don't they realize it? Now, none of them have 501c3, as far as I know. So that part of the disobedience isn't there. But there is disobedience. Because I know some of these people personally. And I know their fruits. I'm not going to say anything out loud. But when you get into their area or you visit them and you have eyes that see, you know these people either aren't Christians at all or have never been taught the health message or dress reform or even, you know, philosophy for that matter. But who, you know, because they seem to lean on that rather than scripture. And this is, no, that's, you're not here. You're, unless, of course, you're Greek and you believe in the unknown God. So we don't need any philosophers here. But yeah. And so a lot of people have been blessed by all this. And this is why I send them here. You know, and I like, here, by the way. Oops, I just pushed on that little button there. That makes it. This is the Bible readings for the home. And this is the one that's from Altamont, Tennessee. Altamont, Tennessee, page 107. They... Let's see, this is an actual scan of pages 107 and 8, the unknown, unaltered version of the Bible readings for the home. Below's excerpt from Harvest Times books, it shares awesome truth concerning the sinless life of Jesus Christ. It also shares concrete biblical evidence of the humanity of Christ himself. Bible readings for the home have been altered by the Roman infiltrators. And so that's why I put those there. This was 20 years ago, maybe 15. I scanned it in with an old-fashioned scanner, like we used to. Well, they still have scanners today, obviously. But even there, the Seventh-day Adventist Church is pushing this Trinitarian view of Christ in their brief Bible readings of the home, because the Jesuits were in that church, and the people that left the church and started the Smyrna stuff or anything, other things, they're doing it for them as well. But here's the clincher, right here. And this is what really got them upset when they found out about this. False doctrine. What did the pioneers believe? I even made a video about this. Now, I didn't come up with the idea to do in the beginning of the video. Let's see. It's because Luke made this video for me. I just did the audio. And no, I don't monetize my website or my page on YouTube. And the only reason there's 10,000 hits is because, you know, a lot of people have been lied to by these people, and so some people sent them there. It doesn't need to have a lot because the SDAs, most of them don't believe in this stuff anyway. But I never, you know, Luke did this one section here. Let me mute it. Well, he did the whole video for me because I didn't have time. This is one of those 20-minute, look at, okay, there's the cover that they mailed out to the house. And then years later, someone handed it to me that I loved dearly. And so I took this book apart because he was believing this stuff. But where does Luke put this? Oh, there it is. Oops. He's the one that came up with this idea. And so I says, okay, let's go for it. And he put it in the video. Okay? A lot of people miss it, but it's used in witchcraft the way they've got. See, he put that up there to show just exactly. And to further confirm, this is the Vatican's secret symbolism, because they're all about symbolism. The Vatican's always been about symbolism. Check out where you're also going to see this symbol, because he shows it next. And he found these pics right there on Ratzinger's. Well, that's Pope Benedict XVI, but his name is Ratzinger. Right there on his mitre. There's another one on the front. And, of course, I think the PX is back here somewhere. But, and there's the fish scales running down the back and all that other silly stuff. But anyway, that is the sad thing. Oh, and by the way, everything that's in the video is on this page for anybody that thinks I made any of that stuff up. But no one's ever hit me on that because I always transcribe most of the stuff anyway. Where is it? Here, I wonder if they moved it. Oh, I know it's forbidden because my IP address is seeking the link. And so the Vatican has been blocking me for years. Let's see why they preach one God. Okay. Oh, here's another one too, and I'll end with this. Why they preach one God? Well, it's because Islam teaches it, Israel teaches it, Catholicism teaches it, Satanism teaches it, Protestantism teaches it, Seventh-day Adventists teach it, the separated SDAs teach it, but the Seventh-day Remnant Church, no. We teach what the Bible says. And I got all sorts of Bible verses, and of course, you all know about the Trinity page. And so, but yeah, it's, but Islamic doctrine, I even show statements from the Quran, Catholicism doctrine, and there's a reason for the one God. Satan only got permission to appear as one of the three. He picked Jesus. So when he comes and acts like he's Jesus, that's why he's building this one God theology in all these churches. And they say we're into this plurality or something. It says, yeah, believe what you want. It doesn't really matter. It's not going to change our minds. We're going to go by thus saith the Lord. And then here, okay, here, this I got this from. Let me just see. Oh, but it's Vatican. Boink. Okay, so it's all right. But yeah, if anybody has access to a Catholic bookstore, just buy the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and they usually have it. This is just their, because I used to teach from this book. And when I was a Catholic, and they have a lot of questions and answers, and they give it to you. But if you look at the way they define the Trinity, it's exactly how these people. And then, you know, and they also stated that 1 John 5:7 should be removed from the Bible. And I go into detail about that in the video. But I can't remember who gave me this Hebrew stuff right there. But anyway. Okay, see, what main reason some deny Jesus as God? Oh, okay, yeah, and I put this on recently, so this wasn't in the video. But I put this up on the top of the page because it says, when speaking of Jesus, Paul says this in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6. It says, and again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. This is where Satan had a problem, if you all recall. Sister White goes into detail about this. He did not want to worship Jesus. And so this is also why those that declare Jesus isn't God have issue here as well. Satan refuses to worship Jesus, so those following Satan are going to refuse to worship Jesus. It's just simple. It's just, by their fruits you shall know them. If they worship the God of the Bible, they will, they'll echo the doctrines of Scripture. If they don't worship the God of the Bible, they'll echo the creed of whoever it is they're worshiping, which would be the pastor, or in this case, Satan, you know, for most of them. But and then I got some links. Oh, these are just stuff. And I'm not kidding. This is why my website grows to the size it does. I, you know, for I don't know, a year or two, all these what-ifs coming around. Well, what about this? Well, they said this. Well, what about the, how do you answer this? How do you? And so I made separate pages for every one of them. Although I did always throw a lot of the stuff on here, because just so I can have a central location, and everything here is linked out up here on this page. Everything here is on this page. Outside the page are these, okay? And these are on my site, but they're outside the page. I think they're all on my site. Let's just, yeah, it's all going to be a POGM. Okie dokie. So if you can kneel, please do so. We're going to end in prayer. And I do not know why the Lord moved me into sharing all that. Maybe there's someone listening right now and your heart's pumping real heavy in your chest because the Holy Spirit's trying to warn you right now. You're in extreme danger.